the name of God, Abba Ima, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lent is entering into the wilderness. That place between slavery and promise. Lent is entering into the thin place, facing our raw needs and the reality of God. Lent really isn't about guilt and repentance. You're terrible people, but you're being let off the hook. No. It's about the thin place, the raw needs in our life, which will not let go of us. And how and where and do we trust the reality of God? Being driven back these days, driven back into fear, into anxiety, into violence. And our friends in South Africa know it too, don't they? Ugly, brutal, fear, without apology. We're being shut down. There's no water. Where's God? Thank God we got a pump going again in Lower Golan. They have no water. At Luvaivai High School in Raimondo Parish, students, faculty, the principal, they have no water at the high school. 30 years we've been going there. They have no water in the high school. Melanie Hobden reported to us a couple weeks ago, right, that in Navajo Nation, they have no water. That's a raw need. Where's God? What's going on? How do you create a future in the midst of deprivation and raw needs? Rephidim is the name of a place in the Sinai Desert. We're setting context where this psalm for the day occurs. We don't know where it was, no clue. But the people had no water in the middle of the desert. And they begin complaining and demanding and begging, "Get us water, Moses! What kind of a God is this if we can't survive?" That whole incident is made famous in the psalm that we shared today. As I said, this psalm is part of every morning's liturgy in monastic communities around the world, has been so for more than 1,000 years. They start the day with this because without praise, we aren't going anywhere. You don't need to say amen to that. That's okay. Without praise, there's no faith, there's no future, there's no hope. Isn't that strange? We think you need to earn praise, you need to deserve praise, right? No, the path says start with praise. We are here. Didn't Jen teach us this great one? I see you, then I am here. Right? I see you here. I see you, and I am here. Where is here? We are here singing to you, erupting into shouting at the place of the rock of our salvation, coming gratefully and gracefully before you, affirming with our words, singing with our mouths, that we are possessed by you, Holy One, and entirely possessed by you. Can you imagine hundreds of people chanting this? Hundreds! We are here. We are possessed by you. For you give us the gift of life, a power above all others, the majesty of our absolutely being here. We're alive. Oh, yeah. Now I'm remembering. It's coming back to me. I haven't had enough coffee yet, right? You whose hands touch the earth's depths like the Grand Canyon, whose heart pierces the mountains of the Himalayas. The always changing sea is yours, for it exists because of you. Your hands form the firmness of these grounds, and so we come in awe. Offering, isn't this beautiful, the earth and the sea of our lives. We bend ourselves toward you. Bowing, friends, is the only time that our heads are beneath our hearts. It's called humility. It's not the strong suit of human beings. Bending toward you. Bowing towards the ultimate awe. You who shape all it is. For you are our beyond, and we are your doing. All week long, just that line. You are our beyond, and we are your doing. If only we could awaken to it. That's the heart of the matter. When we awaken to who we are, that we are here, and what this life is about, everything changes. There is this a little bit more than a tagline, however, which is the experience of Rephidim. My people, God says, do not lose heart as you did in the wilderness when entanglements confused you and your ancestors lost faith, demanding outward signs. Give us water. Make the bad things go away. Prove to us that you're God, right? Take care of things because it's all falling apart. These are honest requests of the heart. They are. They're completely honest. But they push our agendas ahead of God. And God says, everything that is me. It's my presence. All that is. This breath, the capacity to move your hands, the gardens at peace, snails crawling on the ground. Did you forget? Did you forget All that is loving presence. Try to become clear about that. Come to me, you who are thirsty, you who have no money, you who are so desperate. Come to me, drink these living waters. Why do you waste your wages on things that don't satisfy? Why do you squander your lives on things that just don't matter? Why? Come to me, pay attention, listen, 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 and you will live. In the listening, we will come to life. St. Anthony is the founder of the monastic movement in Christian circles. He lived from 251 to 356, 105 years old. And he fled into the desert of Egypt. And people asked why, and he said, "The ship is going down. It's going down." Now, the ship is an ancient symbolic name for the church. The church is going down. Why? Because it was getting entangled in Roman authority and power and government. That's the worst thing that ever happened to the Christian community. Constantine gave us the greatest curse ever. The church is going down. Run for your lives, get into the desert, flee to the wilderness so that you can become clear again. And he did. My ways are not your ways, Yahweh says, huh? My thoughts are not your thoughts. And in the wilderness, this became clearer and clearer to Anthony and to all of us in the midst of Lent, between a rock and a hard place, between slavery and the promised land, between the raw needs of our lives for these times and the reality of God. We need to become clear. On your bulletin cover is an icon of St. Anthony. And perhaps you can read what's on the little scroll he carries. I no longer fear God. I love him. I no longer fear life. I don't fear others. I don't fear fear. I love life. I love God. I love others. I might even begin to love my enemies. Oh, why on earth didn't this become the banner cry of Christianity? The very heart and soul of what we're about. We're here to tell people, you don't need to fear God. You don't need to be afraid. You are loved endlessly. Love God. Love God in return. So Jesus is thirsty. He's traveling. Sits down at a well. Asks for a drink of water. And the Samaritan woman says, "You're kidding me. You, a Jew, asking me? You hate Samaritans. What's wrong with you people? Why would I ever help you?" And he says, "If you only knew who is asking you, you would ask me. You have no bucket." And there's the nub. If you only knew who is asking you. You could come to life and never be thirsty again. Jesus is still thirsty. He's endlessly thirsty. coming to us in the needs of neighbors and the needy and the immigrants and the refugees and so many more. Hebrew has two words for life. One is nefesh. It's the flesh. It's ordinary time. It's getting through the day. It's hoping you make it till the end. It's putting up with all the stuff that you gotta put up with every day, and you hope when you get home, at least TV will have something good tonight. You know what I mean? That's nefesh. And then there's the time. Alive, spirit-filled, joyful, moving, longing for, loving this life as it is. And I'm not about to ask you to enter into Lachaim 7 days a week. I would never do that. I know that's too much. But how about 3 days a week? When we get out on the front lawn with our pots and pans and invite neighbors to dance with us for the joy of it. We're here. We're alive. Or sure, let's just go through the routines, I know. Anybody having pizza this week? It's us. It's here. It's happening. If you only knew who is inviting us to come to life. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.